Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The doctor says scalpel, scissors, iPod. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and ahead today, hospitals and the healing effects of music. And later, a cure for the winter blahs when the hot swing trio of Mark O'Connor, John Patitucci, and Julian Lage perform live in our studio. To begin, at least since the time of the ancient Greeks, music has been used for therapeutic purposes. But the precise ways that it can improve our health remain unclear. In a moment, we'll hear about a unique program that tests the healing effects of harp music at one New Jersey hospital. But we begin with Dr. Claudius Conrad. He's a German-born surgeon at Massachusetts General Hospital. He's also trained as a concert pianist and holds a PhD in music philosophy. He's performed some scholarly research on the effect of music in the operating room, the effect it has on the work of surgeons, and he joins us to explain his study. Claudius, welcome to Soundcheck.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
So we've long known that surgeons do, you know, occasionally listen to music in the operating room. Why study it from a more scholarly perspective now?
Well, I think that it's important to understand what are the effects of music in the operating room. You want to have the most safe environment, and you might want to use music to improve performance. And the better understanding we have of how that might work, I think the more we can put it in use to improve patient outcome ultimately.
And so what did your study show?
So we performed a study not only looking at the effects of carefully analyzed classic music on surgical performance, we also looked at how auditory stress or mental loading, meaning being mentally preoccupied with something else in the surgery at present, affects surgical performance. So we had the novices and internationally renowned experts of that type of surgery tested on a simulator of surgery, and we tested very carefully for the components of surgery that are very important: speed and accuracy, and also the ability to recall what you just did. So what we found was, in broad strokes, that indeed novices can improve their recall of what they learned in the operating room if they listen to relaxing music. And I think a very interesting finding was that applies to many surgeons that might be listening today, is that even if you're an expert in surgery, auditory stress and relaxing music will affect your performance.
When you say auditory stress, you mean just the beeping of the machines and the movement of instruments on trays and all the noise, the clatter that goes on in the OR?
This and more so background conversations, people calling into your operating room and want something from you. And in order to test that in a standardized fashion, we composed what we call dichotic music, which is two different types of music in each ear. And we had death metal in one ear and German folk music in the other ear. And
what did that do to the speed and accuracy of the surgeons? And I want to repeat what you said before, that they were not tested on actual patients. This was a simulation.
Yeah.
What was the effect?
Thank you for repeating that. Yeah, that wouldn't be right. Yeah, so what we found is in novices, very interesting is that there's a great difference between people. So people who start out learning surgery, there will be some that are only affected to a minimal degree by this dichotic music, and others will perform 400% worse under this stressful auditory influence. And more relevant, I think, experts of surgery who often think, well, I've been doing this for 30 years. There can be an atomic bomb going off next to my OR. I will just keep operating. In those people, even we found that it influences their performance. And more precisely, what we found was accuracy wasn't influenced that much, but the surgeons took much longer to complete the tasks that were assigned to them.
And were they even aware that they were moving more slowly?
No, they weren't. Good point. Yeah.
We're speaking with Dr. Claudius Conrad, who put this study together to measure how music in the operating room affects the work of the surgeons who are doing the actual operating. And I like this idea of, you know, testing with Mozart and all that kind of stuff. I mean, we expect that. But as you said, having these surgeons listening to death metal in one ear and German folk music in the other ear, let's give our listeners a chance to experience that. The death metal first from Cataclysm. I now imagine that's going on in, say, your left ear, while your right ear is hearing this. All right, that's, I'm not surprised that, that speed, is really affected, Claudius, in your study when you do this for the doctors who are in the study. I am surprised that accuracy is not affected. What does that tell us about the way music might affect two different parts of the brain?
I think one thing it tells us about our culture here at Harvard, you know, people that enroll in that study, our surgeons here, they recognize the challenge of performing their task under the simulator, and I think they concentrated very hard to keep their performance up. That is one component that goes into it. The other is speed is probably the first component to go, and although it might seem like, okay, so the surgery might take a little bit longer, that's no big deal, it actually is. It will affect patient outcome. There are various complications that are just associated with the length of the operation. So if there is a noisy operating room and there's a lot of background conversation and the other forms of auditory stress, this will negatively impact on the performance of the surgeon and ultimately the outcome of the patient. We are trying to constantly improve our work environment at Mass General, one of the Harvard teaching hospitals, and this raises awareness that auditory influences might play a bigger role in the operating room than previously thought.
So I guess the big question then is, what is the benefit of adding yet another layer of sound to, you know, what is already, as you've put it, a stressful auditory situation? What is the benefit of adding music on top of everything else?
So what we found, and we put a lot of thought into what music we should use, and we use carefully analyzed music. We found that music can help to create a relaxing environment. Number one. Number two, it has the ability to unify people. And as you might imagine, surgery is a team approach with many parties involved. There are anesthesiologists, there are surgeons, there are assistants, there are nurses, there are circulators, there are other people that help us. And music has the ability to unify to one goal, which is the best possible outcome of the surgery. And we found that in our work environment, in the operating room, that can be very helpful to form a team and to bond people, to create a relaxing environment, which will ultimately improve the patient outcome.
So neuroscientists like to talk about entrainment, how, you know, the brain will sort of respond to the rhythm of the music or, you know, the other perceived audio qualities of the music. On an individual level, are you suggesting that a group can respond in a similar way to music?
Yes, certainly. And, you know, music is something personal. It has the ability to engage people in conversations, to initiate conversation in an environment where it's easy to speak up, where you share your personal taste, your personal musical taste with other people, that creates an environment that is open for discussion. And, you know, a younger surgeon might feel more welcome to give his input, and if he feels that something is going not the way it should go, then it's easier for him to speak up in the environments that are such.
We're speaking with Dr. Claudius Conrad on the line from Massachusetts General Hospital. As I mentioned earlier, he's also a holder of a PhD in music philosophy. And we're talking about music in the OR. And Soundcheck listeners, let me ask you, do you care if your doctors are playing music in the OR? Have you had any experience with music in hospitals? Did it help or not? You can call us at 212-433-9692. That's 433-WNYC. Or leave a comment on the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org. Some hospitals do feature live music as a way not only to help the surgeons in the OR, but to help patients recover from surgery. And joining me now is Emily Rowan. She's the coordinator of cardiac integrative medicine at Morristown Memorial Hospital in New Jersey. And she oversees a program in which a harpist performs for patients who are recovering, specifically, Emily, from open-heart surgery. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Having heard what Claudius is saying about, you know, the use of music in the OR, reduction of stress, it's a very noisy environment, I would assume recovery is a very quiet place. So what's the role of music in your environment?
Well, I would say that recovery is a quiet place, although there are sounds. There are the machines are beeping and there are alarms going off in the intensive care unit. So it's not necessarily a quiet place.
Or not a relaxing place.
Exactly. So when I started looking at that environment, the CPAC, or the after open heart surgery intensive care unit, is a place where it's one-on-one nursing. And the tension and presence of stress was certainly there. And so I was looking for a way to really provide a sense of comfort and care to the patients.
What about for the nurses? I mean, you say it's a very stressful place. Stressful for them too, isn't it?
Absolutely. And in fact, as part of our study, what we did was we looked at the impact on the patients, but we also looked at the impact on the nursing and the staff and what it felt like for them.
Any surprises?
It was really very informative because the staff actually had a very big reaction to having the music present in the unit. They grew to look forward to the harpist coming every day and reported a lot of feedback in terms of in crisis situations where they did move as a group, as you were just talking, and were able to work together better as a team in a calm, clear way, that the music really enhanced their working together. And that was a very interesting part of the study that we found when we were really getting their feedback.
Now, when something does happen and the team needs to be, you know, there, in a hurry, doing the right thing without thinking, I mean, do you have time to say to the harpist, get your harp out of the way, we got to get in here?
Well, she actually carries a very small harp. And so what she does is she moves through to in an individual setting to the patient. So if they were moving and working with a particular patient, she could stand back but still be a part in influencing the environment, which is exactly what ends up happening, is that the environment is altered by her presence.
We're talking about music in hospitals, in the operating room, in recovery, and Jeremy is joining us on the line from right here in New York. Jeremy, which end of things have you experienced?
So I'm a physician, and when I was in training, I'm here in New York, and I'm not a surgeon, but I trained in surgery as a student in the Midwest in a big medical center. We did our training at a veterans hospital, and I did a vascular surgery rotation, extended vascular surgery rotation. Those operations were frequently very long. I did a lot of arterial bypasses, aortic bypasses. Those operations could last 6 hours. So the surgeons would play their own selections of music, and essentially the surgeon would play what they wanted. When I was a student, what happened was one time we were doing a surgery, and the particular surgeon was very into 80s music, so he was listening to the Cars. And I'll never forget this, because the patient wasn't doing well, and the patient ended up having something called ventricular fibrillation, which is essentially a cardiac arrest. And during the ventricular fibrillation, the song Let the Good Times Roll came on as the Cars song, and I had to do CPR the whole time to let the good times roll. The patient ended up dying. since then, whenever I'm in my car, wherever I am, I hear Let the Good Times Roll. I think about that patient, and I think about that experience and how macabre and weird it is that this guy died to that song, and it always stuck with me.
Yeah, I guess that is one of the potential pitfalls, and I want to ask Emily about that in a moment, that there are associations with this music. But before, Emily, before I ask you, let me ask you, Claudius, Dr. Claudius Conrad on the line with us from Mass General. What is your reaction to a story like Jeremy's?
Well, it tells us two things. There might be very well many situations during an operation where no music is the best thing to do, and I was surprised that the music wasn't turned off, number one. But number two, it also shows us how strong our association with music is. There are a few people who say, you know, I looked at this image in a museum, I looked at this wonderful painting, or I listened to this poetry, and every time I see this, I have to think of that. Few people report that, but many people report about their strong emotional reaction to a piece of music. So our research is designed to understand what are those emotional reactions and how are those mediated. And we have done previous research to try to understand what pathways in the body go together to mediate relaxation and a positive emotional association to a certain piece. And I think a lot of research has to be done to understand that better.
Mm-hmm. Emily, you've got your HARP situation there in the open heart surgery recovery unit has kind of an interesting approach by specifically trying not to play music people will be familiar with, right?
Yes, that's true.
And why is that?
Because music has that universal experience where it's, rather than identifying a personal experience with a song or a memory, it's just the background where it's not personally recognized, the tune or the particular sound. So it's an important choice that we've made in the environment.
So this music is an example of the kind of thing that you would hear if you're recovering from open-heart surgery at Morristown Memorial Hospital in New Jersey, where Emily Rowan oversees the Cardiac Integrative Medicine Program. And while we take a quick break, we'll check out some more comments on the sound check page and queue up a few more calls, and we'll see what one patient thought about listening to Bruce Springsteen during his surgery twice. Coming up later on Soundcheck, a newly formed trio, doesn't even have a name yet, will play some Hot Swing live in the studio. Mark O'Connor, John Patitucci, and Julian Lage will join us later on Soundcheck.
Check out today's Soundcheck blog.
Before the anesthesia took effect, I saw the surgeon and other staff standing around in that nasty hospital lighting, and suddenly I thought, couldn't they have some music or something going here? I mean, I know it's an operating room, but it seemed more like a tomb.
For the rest of the story, visit the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org.
What if what you do to survive kills the things you love? Fear's a powerful thing. It'll turn your heart black, you can trust. It'll take a God-filled soul, fill it with devil's hand dust. It'll take a God-filled.
We're back on Soundcheck talking about the ways in which music is used in hospitals these days. I'm John Schaefer. Our guests so far have included Dr. Claudius Conrad, a surgeon at Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston, and Emily Rowan, who coordinates the HARP music program at Morristown Memorial Hospital in New Jersey. And joining us on the phone now is our old friend Dan Blumberg. He's a reporter and producer who occasionally hosts Morning Edition here at WNYC and vital member of the WNYC softball team. Hi, Dan.
Hey, John.
So we're playing Bruce Springsteen for a reason. Tell us your multiple experiences of the boss in a hospital.
Well, I had surgery a couple of years ago, and as they
major or minor?
They knocked me out. I was going to go down for the count and, you know, reemerge. And so they wheel me into the room, and I hadn't had surgery in, I don't know, forever. I didn't remember what it feels like, looks like. And I go in, and there's big bright lights and machines everywhere. I think they had the machine that goes ping somewhere. And they had Bruce Springsteen playing, and it was really bizarre and disorienting. but I like Bruce Springsteen, so and it was more classic Springsteen than what you just played. But it was cool. And so that's the first thing I remember when I woke up. And then I had surgery again last year, something totally different, different surgeon, different hospital. And I was waiting to say, oh, what's the music going to be this time? And sure enough, it was Bruce Springsteen again.
Wow. So both times, you know, and this often happens, they wheel you into the OR, you're still awake, the anesthesia hasn't taken effect yet, and you're hearing that in the OR. This is not like in the room somewhere.
They put you down on the table, there are, you know, six doctors and nurses staring down at you, buzzing about, and they've got, you know, a little boombox in the corner.
And what did it do for you, you know, for your experience as a patient? Did you feel a little more concerned that maybe you weren't getting your doctor's undivided attention, or did it make you feel, you know, sort of, this guy likes the same music I like, this is going to go well? You know, what was
the first time, I was just really surprised. I didn't expect that at all. And maybe that's a good thing. It was disarming in some way. It didn't focus as much on the bright lights and the, you know, everyone wearing, you know, surgical masks. The second time I was expecting music, and I was, like I said, looking forward to what's it going to be. And then I just got a big chuckle out of, you know, being the boss again.
So can you still listen to those songs without flashing back to being on the operating table?
I have no problem listening to Bruce Springsteen.
All right, Dan. Thanks very much for the call. Dan Bloomberg occasionally hosts Morning Edition here at WNYC. Up to Mass General, Dr. Claudius Conrad. Claudius, what do you think of Dan's story? Does that sound familiar to you?
Yeah, great story. You know, we recommend to our patients to bring their own music, and bringing their own music has the ability to bring something that is home to something that is as sterile and impersonal as an operating environment. The other thing it reflects on, something that's poorly understood in music science, is personal preference. I think it's probably not a total coincidence that both surgeons, like Bruce Springsteen, I think this is type of surgery or this type of music that is preferred by surgeon. It reflects on personal preference, and there has been research done that shows that preference, musical preference, reflects very strongly on primary personality. And for example, psychiatrists use it as a diagnostic tool. But nevertheless, what makes people like Bruce Springsteen or detest Bruce Springsteen is poorly understood, and that's another area we are interested in research in the future.
Let me read you a comment that's come in from Elena in Jersey City. She asks, I'm curious as to how staff in the operating room would respond to music that they like. Death metal, for example, might not be the most relaxing, but if it appeals to the doctor in particular, might it be better? I know that I perform better on physical tasks when I'm listening to music I like. So a couple of questions there. I mean, who decides? And what if your surgeon is, like, seriously into, you know, the left side of your left-right ear experiment earlier?
So historically, the surgeons decide. We are a little bit more modern in our way. We try to find a common denominator. And I personally put a lot of thought into who will be participating in the surgery and select the music accordingly. But, you know, we used Mozart's music a lot and have analyzed it for compositional elements of relaxation. And many people ask me, so why Mozart? Why not this composer or that composer? We are looking for an easy common denominator. And we use a carefully selected music also in the intensive care unit, not only in the operating room. And we are looking for something that can be employed easily at 2 o'clock in the morning without the nurse having to call the family, because medicine is always the best practical solution. It's often an 80% solution, and you know, Mozart music or relaxing music of that kind might often be the easiest common denominator. There might be some people who don't like it at all and would prefer death metal, for example, but I think those are fewer, and we are looking for that common denominator, that things that will incorporate many people.
Emily Rowan at the intensive care, the recovery unit at Morristown Memorial, you've got this HARP program going. Is that, you know, is that sort of across the board? People seem to like it, look forward to hearing the harpists come back, or do you have people who are like, you know, where's the electric guitars, man? I just had open heart surgery. I need something to get me going.
Well, we do have other options in the intensive care unit and throughout the hospital, so that we use music a lot through our whole hospital system. And we offer CD players and individual choices so that people can choose to listen to music of different varieties that they have. And patients in the intensive care unit, if they have preferences, we will ask the family member to bring in those types of music so that, you know, if someone likes country western and that is something that really inspires them to thrive, then we want to help them to do that. So
let's see what Lori in Brooklyn has to say in response to that, because I think she's had a similar experience. Is that right, Lori?
Yes, it is. I think actually had all of these things happen now that have happened now in music and the effect it has on patients and doctors, instead of when I had this operation, which was 17 years ago, I went in to give birth to my first child, and I had ended up having an emergency C-section, and so I was entirely awake, and I was wheeled into the operating room, and they were playing very loudly top 40 music. And so the entire time, even though I wanted to say something as, like, turn off the music, I couldn't find my voice. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't speak.
That's what
I remember in very sharp relief,
even though it was
17 years ago.
Was it the music, just the fact that there was music, or was it specifically the fact that they were blaring top 40 music at you?
I think it was because it was top 40 music, and it was almost as though I wasn't even there. Mm. And if somebody had even said to me, you know, do you want to hear any music, or what kind of music would you want to hear? Nothing. So,
but that, Emily, that's exactly what you're doing, right?
I certainly would have picked something else, or maybe no music.
So, Emily, is this a new development? I mean, Lori is saying, you know, if this had been around 17 years ago, she might have had a completely different experience of her.
I really think hospitals are moving towards a really patient-centered care kind of thinking. And so I think that we really try to tailor the care that we're giving, music, massage, whatever the type of care that would provide comfort. And that's a really big, driving force in certainly our hospital system, because it creates a special healing environment and the recognition that that really can make a big difference.
Well, and one thing
very
that we,
strong.
One thing that we have learned, you know, from doing segments on this program about noise, about, you know, the sonic environment of the city, talking with neurologists and neuroscientists, is that stress really does affect the rest of our health. And if whatever you can do to kind of bring down the stress level is...
For everyone, for the patients, family members, creating an environment that's healing for everyone so that they can go through that experience.
Now,
and music is a wonderful piece of that.
Now, as the caller's personal story pointed out, you can't just throw music at people willy-nilly and expect that it's going to work. You're in a hospital, you have to sort of recognize that sometimes there are songs that might not be appropriate no matter how much you like them. Songs maybe like these. That's enough of that. Let's put another caller on the show. Barbara is joining us from Long Island. Barbara, what's your experience been of music in the hospital?
My experience was excellent. I was having my broken hip set, and it turned out when the surgeon and the anesthesiologist were talking about what movie music to play, they were going to play Monteverdi. And I said, since I was awake, oh, that's wonderful. That's my favorite music. So the three of us ended up talking while they were setting my hip, and I think it was just very relaxing and non-threatening, and I wasn't afraid of anything at all.
And how much of the Monteverdi were you actually awake to hear?
I was awake a great deal. In fact, they said to me, we're going to let you go under a little bit because you're talking too much.
Okay.
So it was. I thought that it worked wonderfully for the two of them, and it made a relaxing environment.
Well, here's a little Monteverdi for you, Barbara, from Orfeo. And we've been talking about music in the hospital, in the OR, in the patients' rooms, in the recovery, with a number of people, our own Dan Blumberg giving us his personal experience earlier. But let me especially thank Dr. Claudius Conrad, surgeon at the Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston, who's been with us on the line, and Emily Rowan, who is the coordinator of cardiac integrative medicine at Morristown Memorial Hospital in New Jersey. Claudius, Emily, thank you both for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you again for having us.
This is Soundcheck, and still to come, violinist Mark O'Connor, bassist John Patitucci, and guitarist Julian Lage join us to talk about their mutual passion for gypsy jazz and hot swing, and they'll play live next.